White Paper Cast, where we try to analyze and understand the arguments for the use cases of the gargantuan gazillions of cryptocurrencies and/or blockchain solutions being proposed. Enjoy.
Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to buy all the cryptos you wanted at a discount, would you panic or would you just buy the dip?
Yo, his palms are sweaty. This week down it's heading. The market's in the red already, but he's betting. Reverses break the surface of the line. It's trending, stays calm, but he keeps on forgetting if it goes down to know how the bottom's found. He opens accounts, but the cash won't come out. He's thinking how 40 tabs open now. Seller huddled down, crypto's crashing, blow. It's back to old times again. Dip, blue skies again. Dip, new highs and then quick new buys begin. If you're not wise, it will rip your whole mind and then slip away, slapping a tip set to try and then click the right time to get in the right side of the winning trade, then begin the whole ride again. Better huddle tight, better settle in. Yo, this is what it's like to be a crypto.
What is Holocaine and what have you been finding out and or reading and or understanding?
Okay, so there is a unique idea about Holochain. It's the basic idea which the founders seem to have is to make it something which is called a mutual credit currency, which is the this is, I'm not sure if this is a good way to start.
What does it look like that they're trying to achieve?
Hang on. Use your credit currency. Yeah. Okay, so Holochain calls itself a mutual credit currency, and it has a lot of distinctions from a lot of the other currencies on the market. It says that it's not a token, and it says that it's not a coin, because it fundamentally has a different architecture from the other currencies which are in the
Hang on.
Market.
Yeah. If the instant question that pops up from the it's not a token and it's not a coin, the instant question that pops up from that is where does it derive its value from then?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is, even though it's not a token, you can actually buy the Holochain token on the market right now.
Hang on a second. You're just trying to confuse me, aren't you?
Okay, so it's called the HOT token, which for some people might raise a few flags, but...
What, hot as in hot potato, no one wants to hang on to it, or hot as in someone stole it, or what?
Well, hot as in, like, that is the acronym that you can find on, like, CoinMarketCap and all those places. It's called HOT, Holochain Token.
Aha, uh-huh. That makes sense.
Which is an interesting acronym, because obviously, according to them, it's not a token, and... but you can still buy it as a token.
Oh, jeez.
But I think the idea is, though, that they will change it over. I think that's like the ICO stage, and they're going to change it into something called Holochain Fuel.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are actually some differences between the Holochain and other cryptocurrencies. The ideology behind them, I think, is distinctive. So I think there's basically kind of three mindsets, but behind the cryptocurrencies that form. The first one is of course Bitcoin, and that's this sort of cypherpunk ideology, which is basically allowing people to transact anonymously, and it's like sort of against banking, or at least giving people the ability to bank, to transact away from banks.
I don't think the cypherpunk ideology is all about, or is 100% about operating as your own bank or all that sort of thing. But I think it's the start. I think the cypherpunks were more interested in being able to opt out of the cage that the Western systems have become. And the only way you can, the only way you can do that is to be able to transact, trade, and communicate freely. And the only way you can do that is if it's all private and anonymous, and therefore you can choose who to communicate and trade with without interference. So I think that's the cyberpunk ideology, which is, you know, to be honest, a little grand and all that, but you know, that's a reasonable goal to try and achieve. It's the highest value goal that you can achieve. So, you know, at least somewhat virtuous or righteous.
So the second ideology is basically we want to make more money than Bitcoin.
Well, if you can do that, my phone number is.
But I mean that's basically how I see it. But I think it's not just make more money than Bitcoin, but it's basically to make transactions faster than Bitcoin, and it's basically to try and supersede it in other ways. But so far, there hasn't been a lot of success doing that, at least at the same time as maintaining sort of anonymity and anonymity is the wrong word, really, but
really crackability. It's sort of a maintained record keeping integrity.
There's a couple of aspects that Bitcoin still does better than others, which is the governance model is still like pretty anarchistic. Like it works by itself, like without people needing to interfere, which is something which doesn't happen with most cryptocurrency projects.
There's really no one to argue with on Bitcoin. Bitcoin's governance is constrained within the code, and the original creator of the code is not here. So therefore, there's no one to argue with. And with it being open source, now you're arguing with anybody that wants to contribute open source code to the project. If their open source code has been accepted by the rest of the project, then they are instantly a member of that project. Wow! That's like, oh, geez. You're not going to be able to get a central authority to argue with.
Yeah. So there's Bitcoin, and then there's people that are trying to supersede Bitcoin in various different ways, basically improve what they think that Bitcoin has accomplished, and they have different interpretations of what that is. And some are just trying to get rich, obviously. But I do think that Holochain is coming from a different perspective to either one of those, and that's from there might be a few others doing this as well, but Holochain makes a big point about them being asset backed, and that asset is basically computing power, which is what other coins like Filecoin and Sonum and Golem. So Sonum is for basically distributed supercomputing, and Golem is the same thing. And there's storage and Filecoin, which are distributed storage, storing of files. And there's a few others that do something similar. And so those are kind of an attempt to be an asset-backed currency. But the thing that's a little bit distinctive about Holochain is that according to their own white paper, they're more economists than they are crypto people.
The next question is, are they Keynesian economists? Or are they Austrian?
Yeah, so that's a good question. But I think, to be honest, they might be Hayekian. Hayekian? I don't know how to say it, but
Australian.
maybe, but well, Austrian is not really the right word because I don't think Hayek was strictly Austrian. He was a little bit borderline sometimes, but the point with Hayek is that he believed in basically multiplying the number of currencies, or he was at least open to the idea of basically not regulating currency, allowing private currencies to exist. And I do think that this was th this seems to be analogous to that. But the economist that they actually quote is called Thomas Grieco, and I've never heard of him before, and I can't find any place at the moment where he's actually interacted with Austrians. But Thomas Grieco wants basically local private currencies to basically proliferate, and he's got a couple of books basically explaining how that can come about. And from an Austrian point of view, I think that's a really good idea. And some of the economic principles actually sounds pretty good. So I actually like this aspect of Holochain, kind of. I sort of like what it's trying to do. But there are a lot of negatives about it as well, which I want to point out.
Which may be what? Well, what about? Oh, okay. Hang on a second. What about the model? I like the model of the reverse, putting the lightning before the blockchain.
Oh yeah. No, that's a good idea. That's a good
This is
point. So,
actually what makes Holochain very different. It's actually a little interesting, and
yes.
I'm now interested to see how Holochain gets along because. A flip of the Bitcoin Lightning model.
Yeah. So the two best aspects of Holochain, I think, is I think it has a unique economic perspective, which is interesting and a nice contribution. The second aspect is the unique architecture, which is basically that it's kind of like a lightning network by default, because everybody has their own local chain, similar to like in Bitcoin, has a lightning node. It's like a second layer, but it's just in the Holochain, the first layer isn't a blockchain. It's what you call a distributed hash table, and there's not really any global consensus. Not every You don't need everybody to store a record of the same database, but the distributed hash table contains hashes, like references to all the other chains in the network, so that whenever a local chain needs to check the genuineness of the other participant in a network, then they look at the distributed hash table and they can find basically the other chain there. So they can everybody stores their own records of their own transactions, including the person that they interact with. So if I'm transacting with Nick, then there's going to be one record for myself and one record for Nick, so it's double accounting. And so whatever transaction I make, there's going to be two records. And so it's difficult to cheat that, and it's even
Well, it's difficult.
it's potentially
Yeah, it's
impossible.
difficult to cheat it because you need access to the private keys, and we're assuming
Yeah.
in this world that everybody manages, maintains, stores their private keys securely. So, which means, yeah, if
Yeah.
everybody's private keys are managed and stored securely, then geez, anything is hard to manipulate or defraud.
So
If you've got double entries.
yeah, exactly, double entry accounting. So there is a weakness which they point out in their own paper, which is what they call the Finney attack, which is basically when you have a high value transaction, it's basically a double spend attack. And I think that their paper is a little inconsistent because they say that they're resistant to, they say you can't double spend on our network at all, and then in the next paragraph they say, oh yeah, except for the Finney attack. There are places their paper seems a bit inconsistent, but basically it relies on
which to explain to everybody, a Finney attack is named after how Finney brought up double spend.
He
goes to a double spend solution to social distancing. Or worked on a double spend solution.
So a Finney attack is when you have a high value transaction which is published before it can propagate. I'm not sure what the distinction is between a normal double spend attack. Do you know what that is, Nick?
Yes, it's basically being able to rearrange the blockchain so that you can spend money before it can get into the blockchain.
Okay.
And actually,
so how is that different from a conventional?
More like a front running attack.
Yeah.
Which would be a Finney attack. Oh, geez, I'll have to go and do some reading again to understand it. But anyway.
Yeah. So it is possible for like a local chain, you sign a transaction to one party, and then you immediately restore your own backup. So you basically knock that chain off, the last record off your own local chain, and then you send the money to another person. And it might be possible for one of the people to see the transaction but there is a problem with that, because then you've signed two conflicting transactions, and if you sign two conflicting transactions, you're going to be booted from the network. So the only time it's going to be worth sacrificing getting booted from the network is if the transaction that you're making has a higher value than the local chain that you're maintaining.
There's got to be a decent risk reward ratio. So in other words, your risk
exactly.
is off the network, so therefore you're going to bump up the value of the transaction because this may be the last time you participate in the network.
Which is why it's sort of only valuable to do it for high value transactions, and it's also why reputation actually becomes something which is quite important on the network, because if everybody transacts like anonymously every single time, then there's no risk. You're not risking anything. If you try and double spend, you don't have a reputation that you have on the line.
So basically, to affect sort of the Finney attack, you must spend time cultivating and culturing a reputation. Well, if you're doing that and you do have a high reputation, you're probably receiving reasonable value anyway. And if you're going to risk that reputation with a Finney attack, value of the reward has to be through the roof.
To warrant
spending all that time cultivating a decent reputation, which you are now receiving value through.
Yeah.
So why then would you risk it with a massive value? You've basically got to be seriously psycho, con man, malicious. You've got to be a bond.
But I mean, they can easily happen though. Like, there's a lot of high value targets. We might be talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. Who knows?
It's a state actor.
So it is. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, and I think this might actually be a good segue to what I perceive as one of the major weaknesses is that is in the privacy aspect and the necessity of knowing people on the network or to building up a strong reputation between parties, has the downside of basically not being able to make anonymous transactions or needing to know too much about people in order to interact with them.
Does it incentivize honeypots?
I'm not sure.
Because we know full well the
But
internet is chock-a-block full of honeypots. There are honeypots bloody everywhere, especially the honeypots that are,
yeah, it
especially
could
the
do. It
honeypots
could
at the
do.
moment that are trying to attract, some of the more, I'll say, the more virile alt-righters. So, Gab AI could just be a
Yeah.
honeypot to attract to attract the opposition
Yeah.
into a cul-de-sac. Maybe Gab AI could be anything else, it doesn't really matter. But this way for the left, if you like, or just any
Yeah.
sympathizer with the state, is to set up an alt-right cul-de-sac within which you can gather all your targets and then just pull the rug out from under them. Which is exactly
So
what Facebook,
there's a
Twitter,
whole,
YouTube, and these sorts of places do, Mastercard and
yeah.
Visa. They all attempt to attack at the same time. They're just the platforms Paul Watson, Alex Jones, and Milo Yiannopoulos. They've deplatformed them all at the same time.
Yeah. It was definitely coordinated. Yeah, it's suspicious. Why everything is so close. The interaction, the
Yes. So
proximity.
what that effectively does is
Yeah.
potentially gets Paul Watson, Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, and the half a dozen or dozen or so others that have been the platform all talking to each other, suggesting to each other,
Yeah.
let's go here, and there's your cul-de-sac or your honeypot. Now, the reason why I'm bringing up
Yeah.
this scenario is it's plausibly realistic, and if Holochain has that weakness, will be used for that by someone
Yeah.
eventually,
Yeah.
because it incentivizes it.
Yeah.
Is that true or not?
So I will read something. It's this is coming straight from their paper. The Holo ecosystem to have a high functioning immune system because any node can create a warrant that flags fraudulent behaviors and provides the original signed records of the fraudster as proof. As new types of fraud are identified and able to be detected, it is easy to determine who has already done these things, then spread warrants as proof of fraud so other nodes can opt to blacklist them. Well, so there are quite a few places in their paper that talk about blacklisting people and conspirators and reputations. It says that Holo is hosted commons with expected standards of behavior.
Who judges those standards and expectations?
Yeah, exactly. And so that is a suspiciously vague statement. How do you judge that, and then how do you enforce it?
And how do you
And
mathematically develop standards for behavior?
yes, so that is an interesting thing because okay, I'm going to read that sentence again and then read the next sentence. Holo is also a hosted commons with expected standards of behavior. The full complement of social agreements simply cannot be encoded into smart contracts. So a smart contract is a contract that is executed algorithmically, like by a computer, so that if you, for example, don't pay up some record that you owe somebody, then your subscription will automatically cancel. Well, they're saying that not everything can be encoded into smart contracts. So that means that it's not like a deterministic thing. If you fail to perform some algorithm, if you fail to meet some contract, then you're not sure what's going to happen. And that the whole idea of smart contracts is that you have a kind of certainty that if you do something, the reaction will certainly be something else. And that makes computation really cheap, and you know that a contract is either going to be fulfilled or it's not, and that's a really, really valuable thing for a business, for a company. They have like a kind of complete legal certainty that something is going to happen. But now, according to the Holo, the Holochain paper, it says that the full complement of social agreements simply cannot be encoded into smart contracts, and so they're keeping the door, it seems, wide open to being able to make decisions which aren't encoded
Which
in a
leaves the door
contract
open for
or
arbitrary
their
judgment. Yeah, it leaves the door open for.
weak contracts. Yeah, arbitrary judgment, precisely. Yeah, so I think Nick Szabo calls it dry and wet contracts, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, no, I haven't.
Have you heard that term? Yeah, so I think a dry contract is something which is
I'll leave the Nick
predictable, is
Szabo post
deterministic.
open maybe 2 weeks and read a few paragraphs before my brain starts melting. And yeah, I'll just have that tab open for a
Yeah,
couple
yeah.
of.
Nick Szabo is great.
Oh,
Yeah. Here's another thing from the quote from Holochain. Another agreement for all Holo users is to not generate wasteful, automated, or artificial traffic to boost one's own or a conspirator's hosting fees. Now, how could that be an agreement? Like, you cannot have the whole idea about these crypto networks or cryptocurrencies is that you have a motivation to act in ways that are beneficial to the whole network,
Well, there are,
like
yeah,
to mine
there's
the
incentives all over
cryptocurrency
the
in the right
place,
way.
and usually the penalty is
Yeah.
100%. Sorry, the penalty for failing to adhere to the incentive, so in other words, you do something malicious, the penalty is usually complete
Yeah.
exclusion from the whole ecosystem. So it's a serious form of ostracism. You will just be
Yeah.
kicked out of the network, simple. But there are sufficient incentives there to keep you interested, and usually working against those incentives costs more than working with incentives.
Yeah. So this Holochain paper is basically saying that people need to be nice, and if they're not nice, then they'll get booted. But we're not going to specify exactly how that's going to happen because they don't believe that it can be encoded into a smart contract. So they're just going to say, if someone looks like they're misbehaving, we're going to kick them off the network. And there's no strict algorithm for doing that. They've specifically said that. Rather, they fingerprint people in various ways, and they talk about having algorithms that will be able to better predict these dealings.
Flag.
Yeah,
A
so
lot
it's
vague and arbitrary and
very vague. Yeah, it's very vague, and that's not what you
well,
need.
crypto can't afford vague. That's
In
why Bitcoin is behaving the way it is.
yeah, if it's vague, it can't be. It's not as useful for a business. Like, If I go into a shop, I give them money, I give them gold, I give them fiat currency, and I generally know they're going to accept the money. And there's a kind of legal certainty there. And now, if you with a holochain network, you don't know if I spend money somewhere, then maybe they're going to think it's fraudulent. Or, I mean, it's that exact same thing is happening with PayPal. It's like you're deplatforming all these people, and there's no legal certainty. Like you don't know if they're going to allow you to accept payments from your fans, from your followers, whatever you call them,
Yes.
your
Oh,
supporters.
okay. So what
You can't
happens is
conduct
we get as
business
petty
anymore.
as someone wrote a blog post denying climate change, trying to demonstrate, putting up an argument that climate change is a load of crap, and someone with some influence in the Holochain network doesn't like it. What happens then?
It is likely to it's seems to be I think the ultimate authority is probably the company Holo themselves, because it seems that every transaction that is made on the Holochain network, they get 1% of that transaction, so it's pretty much
Oh,
an income
Jesus.
tax.
So they're right. Okay, yeah.
So the made to basically as a platform for providing computer services like hosting websites and stuff. So that, in a way, that's similar to like Filecoin and some other papers and some other cryptocurrencies that pay you for hosting. But sorry, lost where I
Well,
was
that
going
can be
here.
weaponized as well. Can it? Or is that hard-coded 1%? It doesn't move ever.
It can almost definitely be moved, and the reason why is because they describe modifying their governance or like freedom, because it's got to be flexible. And so that kind of sounds dodgy. It's not deterministic at all. Like there's no determinism in it. Determinism gives legal
Yeah,
certainty,
well, at least not necessarily.
and there is none of that here. It's completely done by humans. It's arbitrary decisions of the company which owns the network. So at the start, I pointed out the economic model was something which was actually quite good. That's the concept of competing currencies. But needs to be pointed out that these are competing private currencies. And so I do see Holochain as one potential valuable competing private currency. It's just not like Bitcoin. It's not made to be something that's universal. It's a platform which you can host apps on and which you can pay fees, but you could get kicked off at any time, just like you can with a name registrar who doesn't like what you're hosting, or a cloud provider. They don't like what you're doing, so they'll cancel your services. And Holochain can do the same thing.
Well, that's a bit of a worry. Because as with things like Google, when they
But
change management over time and evolve, well, their ideas of what's good, bad, and indifferent change.
yeah. So, in a way, you could think of it the way I perceive it now. I'm not completely confident about this, but it's sort of like a cloud service, but it has a good community. It's a cloud service with a great community. With a great community, it's a large community, and everybody puts their own resources in it. Just like Uber and just like Airbnb, and they've made a comparison themselves. to those companies, and they see themselves as one of those. But remember that those companies, although they're decentralized in one aspect, in that they allow everybody anywhere basically to share their house or their car, all the money comes back to a single organization. I mean, everybody can make some of the profit, but it's still centralized around one company. And so Holochain is the same thing. It has a centralized governance, just like Airbnb, just like Uber. But it does allow customers to make money. And I mean, even YouTube, you just think, you know, like, it's not just, YouTube isn't a news organization that publishes their own content, that they get people to make content, and then they share the profits with, you know, the YouTubers can make money from ads. Well, and so it's kind of like that.
Just distributed ads.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So you give a it's a platform for that anyone can use to trade and to make money, but it's still under one umbrella essentially.
So it makes sense for the Holochain community to be excited about Holochain because it resembles the model of Airbnb and Uber and sort of distributed trade or distributed access.
Yeah.
It lowers the barriers to access, and it's reasonable for everybody to be excited about Holochain for that, because it lowers the barriers to create private currency and or host distributed apps or whatever it is that Holochain, or whatever it is that someone decides to use the Holochain platform for. It's reasonable for the community to be excited about those ideas, but that's the same with EOS and Ethereum. They're excited about the prospects of Ethereum and EOS. Those EC20 tokens are just popping up out of the ground like sprouts. And they're all sitting on top of the Ethereum platform. Well, that means centralization. Okay. So the Holochain is running the risk of really just being a fast EOS or fast Ethereum with less bloat than Ethereum, because as we know, Ethereum's got a massive scaling issue. They've got to go to proof of stake to solve their scaling issue, as far as I understand. And they've got to do it soon, because there are very few people running full nodes of Ethereum. Hardly any people are using their apps. The Holochain is really a fast version and a lightweight version, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. That's probably fair. I would probably think of it as distributed cloud hosting that allows anyone to make money in the same way as Airbnb and Uber makes money from the customer's resources, and you know, so the customers make money, the company makes money, and you know, everyone's happy. But it's not an alternative to that paradigm. It's another competing company
and
within that
of
paradigm.
The way it's constructed, you can also create a currency on top, which is where the private currencies come from. Because you're running a node at the client level. Am I thinking clear?
So you can't, from what I know, I'm pretty sure you cannot make up your own private currencies on the Holochain network. You can spend Bitcoin on the Holochain network, or you can arrange that somehow. But they have holo, not tokens, because they don't want to call them tokens. But there is still, people have records of how much holo they have, but you're not supposed to call them holo. Holo fuel, I think you're allowed to call them holo fuel. So you've got holo fuel. Yeah, there's a record of value. Yeah, and there is an economic distinction, I think, because this is interesting. The number of hollow on the entire network is always zero if you add it all up.
So therefore,
There's credit and there's
the credits
debit.
and debits always equal each other. They're
It's called
whoa.
it's
So
called a mutual
we're
credit
close
local
to parity,
currency.
aren't
Well, yeah. So there is an economic model which is very interesting, which I do want to read up more about it. And I think it's I think the two economists to read, Thomas Greco and Friedrich Hayek. I haven't heard them quote Hayek, but it sounds like Hayek, his denationalization of money. But I haven't heard them mention him, which is interesting. I'm surprised because I read a few articles about this stuff, and I never heard them mention
Mm.
Hayek. I wonder why, but they don't make any Austrian references at all. Anything close to being Austrian that I can see,
Okay,
like
well,
to actual
here's
Austrian economists. But they do seem to be they do seem to think of themselves as one private currency, and they even say that they don't necessarily want to be an eternal, and then they just so like they make a difference. They themselves say that they're not like Bitcoin and that they don't want to be eternal. Some advocate, this is reading from their white paper. Some advocates are convinced that Bitcoin will run forever. We hope that Holo does not. Holo is designed to put itself out of business by establishing widespread adoption of Holochain. The
okay.
Holochain is the underlying, set of blockchains, not the currency on top. Once people are running Holochain peers, they don't need to anyone to host for them. It may take years or decades, but Holo is a transitional platform, and its semi-centralized features may be just enough motivation for people to complete the changeover. So they okay. Here's another quote: "Could a federation of interoperable asset-backed currencies leverage Holo's computing power and crypto accounting engine to establish an accord solid enough for mainstream economic activity to migrate from petrodollars to crypto credits?" So the emphasis is that they see themselves as one of a family of currencies, and so they are more humble, I think, than a lot of what people proclaim. Like it just it's not anything like Bitcoin, and it won't be the next Bitcoin, but it could be one useful currency,
Yes,
one useful
okay,
private
yes,
currency,
okay.
which is
I
asset
think
backed.
this has just
One of
become
many.
a two-part because we've been going for I don't know how long. We've investigated some of the tech or the principles behind how the tech works, distributed nodes and the holochain sort of being out there somewhere, and really you run your own
Yeah.
nodes, you validate transactions with your peers rather than going to a public ledger, which is what Bitcoin is. I think we in this has become part two because I think we need to look at the economics of it as well, which means we need to have a little dig into what Hayek has to say about denationalizing currencies,
Yeah.
which I think is a really good idea anyway. And we need to dig up some of Greco's writings because they actually quote Greco in their
Yeah.
papers. Yeah, so I think that could be.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Well, they at least reference him.
Or
So
they reference him if they don't quote him
there's a Greco
directly. Yeah.
influence
In
in
footnotes.
Holochain, so we need to go and
Yeah.
look up what Greco thinks to be able to understand that influence and therefore understand the path that
Yeah.
Holochain might be trying to take. And that can be part two.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Yeah. So I don't
Yeah,
know whether we've
sure.
enlightened
Yep.
anybody.
Okay.
Probably
Good
more
plan.
confused now than we were when we
Yeah.
started.
Yeah.
Well, the summary, I
So
think.
can we give a summary? in.
Well,
like,
I know people want the
good or
judgment,
bad,
good or
because
bad.
most people
Well,
want to
I
hear
know
good or
people
bad, but
oh, that's too bloody bad. We're not going to do that. We're just going through what people are claiming things to be. And it sounds like Holochain is not really claiming themselves to be anything other than fast as hell, and not necessarily a currency, but a form of exchange, a form of value exchange that is made, that is rendered quick because of its topology or architecture, because of its design. Is trying to offload node verification work at the peer-to-peer level rather than have a centralized public ledger that controls the governance. And that arbitrary governance thing that they've got in there, that needs to be looked at in detail. We have to have a look at that as well, which will come in, more of that will come in part two with the economic.
Yeah.
Because economics and social behaviour are basically the same thing. So they're talking about social behaviour and interaction not being able to be encoded within cryptographic work. Okay, no worries. Well, how are you going to do the economics then? So I think having a look at the economics may expose some of that as well. And they may discover some of the social intentions that make sense, or the social expectations.
Well, I can at least give a.
I think I can give
a summary of how I do perceive it. I think it would be helpful to do so. Yeah. So, the economic ideas behind it are interesting and a positive contribution. They're exploring the concept of private currencies more, I think, of multiple private currencies, not like a universal currency, which is sort of what Bitcoin is supposed to be, or well, potentially. So interesting economics, interesting architecture, and as far as I can tell, it's unique, but I could be wrong, but it the idea of local chains and mixed with a distributed hash table. Everybody has their own local chain, and then there's a distributed hash table which can be passed around. A distributed hash table in order to connect.
Yeah,
it
enables
blockchains.
It enables
for a lot
to find each other
speed
and or verify each other's
accuracy
and or verify each other's records. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It allows for security as well as for speed. And that's a unique contribution as far as I can tell, which is a really good idea. The negatives, the privacy isn't great.
I can't see how it can be, honestly.
And also the arbitrary, the arbitrary standards for judging people, for judging reputations, and for governing seem to be a bad idea. It's way too arbitrary, from what I can tell, the governance system. And thirdly, is basically a 1% income tax. Any money you make, you're basically taxed 1%. That was what I was going to say next. Fourthly, is that the ability to change that. Like we say, okay, we need 1.5%.
And now we need 10%.
We're coming out with a new update,
and we need
to get more developers
tank.
Or something.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's.
All of a sudden,
you guys are buying too much whiskey. We need to take your whiskey or something. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So emerging governance, evolving governance is potentially dangerous. Yeah. Okay, so there's some positives and some negatives, and
Yeah,
yeah, so that's,
we can live with that for part one.
I feel like it's a
We'll
good
dig in.
summary.
We'll dig into how the economics might work because it's going to sort of tip.
Yeah.
I can imagine it's going to tip the bowl of everybody's economic understanding over and spread bits of it all over the place if we're talking about denationalizing currencies. Because
Yeah.
we've got to get in.
Analysis of Hayek would be great. And Gricko and Hayek. Yeah. So one last note for people is just be careful when you see everybody praising something and you know, really high praise, because it's often not quite what you see when you look underneath the surface. There's likely you need to
For
investigate
God's sake,
yourself,
that's
not
what we're
just
doing. It's
assume that what
called
everybody
doing your
else is
own
saying
research.
is true.
Damn. God.
And it's possible that a lot of these people have and have investments, and so they have a motivation to say good stuff about it because they get profit. If the
Yes.
value of the tokens goes up, or their value of the fuel goes up, or that they're being paid by Holochain or someone else, who knows? You just don't know what's happening. And so, if everyone's praising something, well, that's not necessarily a sign that it's good. You need to think about it for yourself. And everybody can be wrong. Like, quite often, everybody is wrong. And so, don't trust the, I don't want to say consensus.
Don't trust
You know, don't trust the consensus in the
don't
other
trust
community
consensus
because
judgment.
it's not.
Don't trust consensus judgment.
What was
There's a
that?
difference. Everybody on earth can come to a consensus
Yeah.
that one and one
Yeah.
equals two. Why? Because every single person on the planet can demonstrate that one and one equals two from the first things you're taught as a
Yeah.
child. But can everybody, if everybody, well,
Yeah.
go to, let's go
Just don't
back
get into
to
positivist
15 countries
mathematics and we'll
in
be fine.
Europe, and God was everything, and that was the consensus, and that's no longer the consensus. It's like, well, geez, what happened to that? So, yeah. No. Well, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to explain the difference between truthful consensus or
Okay,
a
you're going off
judgmental
topic now,
consensus.
so just.
There's a difference. But anyway, but yeah, there are
Okay.
some can. Oh, geez, let's not.
Anyway,
Let's
so
not.
maybe we'll talk about the nature of truth in
That's
part three.
No,
And we can
I'm
go into
leaving now. I'm leaving now.
epistemology
I do
and
not
theories
have.
behind truth and mathematics.
Yeah, we're not. We're not going to have another 5-hour
The
conversation. Let's just not
universality of
do
mathematical truth.
it. At some point, we must go to bed, and we need to eat
Okay.
food, and must have showers, and go to
All
work, and
right.
all those sorts of things. No, I'm not doing it. All right, so that would be
Okay,
part one,
another day then.
Holochain. Look out for part two. It'll be soon-ish, within the next week or so. And we're not going to date ourselves
Yeah,
with these things
we'll
either,
talk about
because
economics.
we've got a little bit of an arbitrary schedule going on here. So it's sort of when we can, and when we can get time aside to do this sort of thing. So it could be a week or two away, but we'll try and chain them
Yeah.
together so you don't forget what you heard in part one. So part two, we'll have a dig in Greco. We'll try and find the
Yeah.
familiarity with Hayek, and we'll see what we come up with. Beauty. That will do it.
Okay.
Okay, well, that was a good
Great.
pause. Now I can stop the recording. That was a good pause. Now I can stop the recording.
What was that? Yeah. So, yeah, so